sound set.
The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
This episode of the Disciplined Investor is sponsored by Horowitz & Company. If you're looking for a portfolio manager, look no further. Horowitz & Company, from seed through harvest, cultivating financial success.
Well, hello and welcome. Andrew Horowitz here, and you're listening to the Disciplined Investor Podcast, episode number 405 for the end or close to the end of March 2015. And if you're listening and something isn't sounding quite right, yes, we have some technical difficulties here. And we're going to have an abbreviated show this week due to the fact that a couple of our important components in the studio seem to have gone kaplooey. We sent those off to the manufacturer and they're going to be repairing those in the next, hopefully in the next few days. Either that or we're going to have to get a entirely new studio setup. But in the meantime, what we did was we were able to have some time with Tom McClellan, and we talked about market fundamentals. We talked about the underlying items such as market breadth, advanced decline line, some weather issues. And we did that earlier in the week. We're going to play that for you today. And again, forgive me, because we just can't do a full show without all the equipment here. Everything is quite jerry-rigged. You should see what this looks like, this whole little microphone setup that we have right here to get the show compacted and ready for publication. But what I want you to do is listen to Tom McClellan. He has some great things to say. And we'll be back shortly once all this is fixed. And this happens, I guess, once in a podcast lifetime, the way everything kind of went crazy with our studio. So please do forgive me. And make it a little bit easier on me instead of having to shuffle all sorts of things around and to work with this crazy contraption that we have set up right here to record this. And we'll be back next week, okay? If you want to follow me, go to Andrew Horowitz. That's the Twitter handle. Or you can check out all the information about this show on thedisciplinedinvestor.com. In the meantime, let's get it on with Tom McClellan. And our guest today is Tom McClellan. And he is a market watcher, a technical analyst, a researcher of all sorts of very interesting data. And I thought we'd bring him on because I have some questions about what's going on with bonds and stocks and all those things. Tom, how you been?
Well, okay as I can be. I'm a recipient of a younger than normal hip replacement.
I heard
because,
that.
Because I wore out the bone in my hip, and rather than a typical arthritis, I had some different kind of condition. So I got to find out what all the 70-year-olds among us are finding out about what that's like. And it's not as much fun as it sounds to have a big surgery like that. But I'm still waddling around now, and hope that they say I can play golf after 3 months after the surgery. And if that's true, that's a miraculous surgery given my level of ability in that area beforehand.
Yeah, maybe your game will get better.
You never know.
All right, so I wanted to talk about a variety of different things, and I'm going to throw a few things out at you. There was there's an interesting piece you wrote recently about the real relationship between the dollar and U.S. stocks. Can you kind of go over that and explain that a little bit?
Well, the truth of the story is that you cannot define one relationship between stocks and the dollar. Just at the point where you think you understand it, it'll flip on you. Sometimes the dollar index and the Dow or the S&P move with a very strong positive correlation, and sometimes they move with a very strongly inverse correlation. Mm-hmm. And I haven't broken the code yet on what flips the switch to make it flip back the other way. So the point of writing that article was not to say what is happening or what's going to happen, but just to help people understand that you cannot make assumptions about what the dollar will do if the stock market does something or vice versa, just because it's such an unreliable relationship.
You know, one of the things I find interesting is that over time, you look at, for example, many of the other countries around the world and how their currency actually works and how their currency actually plays out is a much greater, there's a much greater correlation. I mean, look at Japan, for example, right?
Very, very true. And the euro lately has led to a big rally in the DAX, the German index. So in other countries, it is different, and you can make justifiable assumptions. It doesn't work that way in the U.S. for whatever reason, and we can we can bemoan our fortunes for not having it work the same way here, but the point is learn the rules that the market trades by and play along with those rules rather than thinking that it has to be how you believe it should be.
And one of the things that you've talked about, I don't know, I think we're having some audio problems here. Hopefully not. Well, I kind of my voice is going in and out. I can see that on the meters. But one of the relationships and things you've talked about recently is, or one of the things you talk about is bonds. And you're kind of bearish now, right?
I am. They started down, had a big robust pop over about the last 2 weeks, a little bit too robust, and have gotten short-term overbought within what I think is a downtrend. It's normal when you have a downtrend in prices that the snapback rallies are very strong and very brief and really break everybody's necks trying to go back the other way. I think we've had one of those, and we restart the downtrend now in bonds.
So
prices,
are we gonna see levels of yields lower? Do you? I mean, I know you can't exactly give us a number, but is it going to be a lot lower than we've seen before? I mean, what are you seeing?
Well, let me clarify. I was talking about bond prices.
Yeah.
Should go lower.
I'm talking about yields higher. Yeah, yeah.
And that's contrary to what the news would seem to lead us to believe. Inflation is low. Falling gas prices have kept inflation low, and it's going to help to reduce prices of other things. So, what would be the causative factor behind making yields go up? It's hard to point to one that's in the news now, but the charts are telling me that the news doesn't really understand what's going on and something else is brewing. What that is, I don't know. What the news will be that will rise up and make that come true, I don't know. I do expect that we'll have generally rising yields into 2017. Just put a piece on my own website, mcoscillator.com, talking about a really strong leading indication that points to higher corporate bond yields between now and about 2017, and presumably that would also be true for Treasury yields.
Yeah, it is interesting because when you look at the environment that we're in, where you see that the economy supposedly was strengthening for some time, stocks were moving up, bonds were moving up, and especially when we saw the Fed go out and give a bit of a more of a dovish tone to their commentary, you saw that commodities went up. You saw that bonds went up, or they're being bought. Stocks went up. It's kind of a little different than we've seen in the past, where you have an environment where, well, if stocks go up, well, that's good. People are not looking to buy bonds as much. It seems like there's a giant thrust in to all these areas, or just a giant thrust out to all these areas all at once.
Yeah, that's really true. And normally you can think of it in game theory as a zero-sum game, where for every winner there has to be a loser. And quite often that's the way it is with stocks and treasury bonds. Lately, though, there is just so much money sloshing around in the financial markets that you can have everything going up all together, stocks, bonds, gold, all moving in the same direction, which is unusual, but it's a sign that we have really plentiful liquidity, and we get confirmation in that by seeing the strong numbers in the advanced decline line. We see that confirmation of that by having relative outperformance by the small caps. Small cap stocks are the less deserving of capital because it's a much higher risk that you take to invest in those. So when you see small caps outperforming on a relative basis, that's an indication that liquidity must be plentiful. You know, think of a mother pig and a litter of 11 piggies. Mm-hmm. The big piggies will muscle their way in and get a good drink. But if the runts are surviving, then that must be a pretty good mother who can provide enough for all the little piggies. And that's the message from seeing small cap strength.
Interesting. So can you explain a little bit about market breadth? You know, a little bit more about what it is?
Market breadth, usually when you talk about that term, it's talking about advanced decline statistics. How many stocks go up every day versus go down? It can be related to other similar ideas, such as up and down volume, number of stocks above their 200-day moving average, new highs, new lows. So it's basically looking at what is the broad body of stocks, not just the 30 stocks in the Dow, but what's everybody doing across the broadness of the entire stock market. That's what the term market breadth generally means.
So when it comes to market breadth, and we're talking about the advanced declines and all that, that's one of the major indicators that you use to calculate your oscillator, right?
The McClellan oscillator is calculated based on the number every day of stocks going up versus going down. We look at the difference between advancing and declining issues, and then we throw some exponential moving average at that, and you get the McClellan oscillator that my parents developed back in 1969.
And what does it tell you? I mean, tell me a little bit more. You know, let's visualize this. What is it tell you in terms of when there's a particular move to one side or the other?
The general value of it, since you're looking at a smooth version of the advanced decline data, what the McClellan oscillator will tell you is about acceleration that is taking place, either upward or downward, in the advanced decline statistics. If you can imagine a cumulative advanced decline line that changes value every day by the number of advancing minus declining issues, that could be moving in a straight line upward, slow and steady uptrend. In that case, there would be no acceleration. At the moment that it turns from a straight line upward to a flat top, that's actually a downward acceleration in physics terms, and that would show up in the McClellan oscillator as a difference. What we're seeing lately, though, across all of the ways that we look at the advanced decline statistics, is that we're seeing a majority of advancing issues versus declining issues every day, not each and every day, but over time, and that's a sign of positive, strong liquidity. If there's enough money sloshing around in the financial system to lift up the majority of stocks consistently, that's a sign that there's plenty of money around to keep the uptrend going for a while. What we saw back in 2007 was that the advanced decline line peaked out in May of that year, several months ahead of the October 2007 final price high. We saw the same thing in the 2000 internet bubble top, where the advanced decline line had peaked a year and a half beforehand. We saw a big divergence in the advanced decline line before the 1987 crash. So when you see a higher high for prices and a lower high for the advanced decline line, that's a big warning that trouble's ahead. We're not seeing that now. While it's true that there have been about two or three other major tops in the stock market's history since 1900, when you haven't had advanced decline divergence, you typically get one as a warning sign that some trouble is coming. And we're just not seeing that right now. The Fed is keeping the spigots open. They're not yanking back all the accommodation that they've made. The ECB is coming on with its own QE program, and QE money is fungible. It can go wherever it wants to be treated the best, so that can help benefit the U.S. stock market too. So there's plenty of liquidity right now in March of 2015. By the time we get to this summer, I expect that to change, but that's not the mission for right now. The mission for now is for investors to ride this uptrend.
So when it comes to the most interesting relationship you have seen lately, is there something out there?
Wow, it's like, Andrew, which of your children do you love the most? That's a really hard question to answer. There's lots of fun things to do with the stock market. It's a grand puzzle. It keeps changing, and so you have to keep, as soon as you think you've figured it out, something else will matter more. We're delving into different kind of areas just because I don't like to look in the same areas where everybody else is looking, because, you know, if you've ever been in an Easter egg hunt, you want to get away from the crowd and look elsewhere. We're finding that you can find good correlations to the financial markets in climate data. Global average temperatures. You know, everybody's having this big huzzah about global warming and whether it's real or not, whether it's happening, or whether it's man-made. Well, setting aside all of those debates, I like to look at the data on global temperatures and find that it gives us a good leading indication for where inflation and interest rates are going to go. The linkage probably has to do with agriculture, because warming years tend to be much better for producing better crop yields. So if you have a good crop yield year, that pushes down food prices, and that leads to other prices falling. That's probably the linkage. But irrespective of what the actual linkage is, we can see the correlation going back all the way to the 1850s, which is as far back as there are reliable temperature data.
So do me a favor. Tell us where we can get more information on your newsletters, on how to find you, about your free samples that you give away in terms of your writings, because I think people are very interested in that.
Well, go to our website. We have a whole bunch of free information there. It's mcoscillator.com. That's a short truncation of McClellan Oscillator, the indicator that my parents created. They can sign up for a free chart and focus article series. You can find out about our subscription newsletter and our daily edition that goes out every day of the market trades. Lots of free information in the Learning Center to learn more about our indicators. That's it's a great asset for people who want to learn more.
Well, that's about all we could do with this microphone / studio setup that we have going on right here. Again, I apologize. This isn't usually the case. We've been doing this for, I don't know, how long has it been now? 6 or 7 years. And I think this is the first or maybe the second oddball technical failure that we've had with regards to our systems in our studio. So please do forgive me, and I will do my best to get this uploaded, working, and making sure that we'll have the Disciplined Investor podcast, as well as DH Unplugged, ready to go this week, or at least for next week. In the meantime, check out thedisciplinedinvestor.com, and we'll see you soon. Thanks for being here. Bye-bye.
The Disciplined Investor Podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager. The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contains forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor, regulated in various states. None of the information presented that should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.